All right, well, I'm going to continue teaching today. This will be my final teaching. I've been teaching on the subject is it is a blessing to give. And I think this is my fifth or sixth teaching. And so for anyone listening on the podcast, we have podcasts online. I just want to say go back and go through the podcast on the teaching of it is a blessing to give. And I've given a foundation through the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And it's a blessing to give because God is a giver. God is a generous God. He is so generous. He is so giving. He gave his best when he gave up Jesus, and Jesus gave up his best when he laid his life down for us. Amen. And so it just pleases God to give and blesses him to give. So I've shared about Old Testament scripture and what it means to give. There's one form of giving and a tithe, and that's to give to people in need. And when we have that opportunity to bless somebody that has a true need, you know, the Lord wants it to be from our heart. He wants us to see that need and do it of our own free will. That's what pleases God. He doesn't expect anything forcibly from us anymore. He wants us to operate in free will and to do good, and to do good works. That's what he's created us for. Now we have his Spirit living in us, so we are strengthened, we are encouraged, we are inspired to do good and to serve him in all ways. Amen. And we just do it because we want to do it. And Jesus says, as Jesus said, there's no greater joy than to give. There's more joy in giving than there is to receive. Amen. And it's a blessing when you have a need to receive the gift when someone wants to bless you. Honor their giving. But there is a real joy that we have in our hearts when we give, when we can benefit someone that's really in true need. Amen? And God is so pleased. And, you know, they're going to give thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then there's giving this is out of the New Testament here today, and I'm going to show you the scripture verses and what Paul taught about giving. And once again, it has everything to do with free will giving and why do we give. And so what I'm going to teach on today is going to lay that case out. So we're going to begin in the book of Romans chapter 1 and begin in verse 8. And it reads, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So Jesus he's addressing the church of Rome. These are believers he's speaking to. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So he was prayerful to the Lord. He wanted to visit them in person. And he says in verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Well, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul had revelation from Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus. Jesus appeared before him. Jesus revealed truth unto him in a supernatural way. So he wanted to impart a spiritual gift. He wanted to, and that begins with the good news of the gospel, an understanding of what that means. Amen. Paul, as an apostle, was a teacher of the churches. He was an instructor of us all. He had that revelation so that we could understand what Jesus did for us in his act of redemption. How do we live by faith rather than works? Works was something of the Old Testament. That was just ingrained in these people who were Jews, and he came to his own people, and that was a difficult thing for them to make that transition, to be able to now just put trust in Jesus and quit trusting in your own works, because if we trust in our own works, God expects 100% performance, and no man can keep that, and if we fail on one account, we've failed it all on all, and we have a debt to owe if we fail on one occasion. And we know through disobedience to the law in the Old Testament came about curse, punishment from God. And he didn't always punish the sins of the people. But the good news is when Jesus went to that cross, as it says in Galatians, that Jesus became a curse for us. He wrapped up all those curses and he bore them on his body. He suffered and he took all the punishment, all the judgment that was due us. He bore that on the cross, so that all the sins of the whole world have been taken care of, past, present, and future. That's good news. But there's one sin that stands in the way, and that is to reject that gift of Christ, reject what he's done, reject his sacrifice. That's the dividing line between heaven and hell. To either receive Christ, receive his grace. We're saved by grace through faith, through our faith in God. It's our faith that unlocks the power of God. And as Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe." The power of God through faith. Faith is what releases that power. So he wanted to lead, impart some spiritual gift. That could be teaching. It could be a word of prophecy. And so that you may be established. What we're doing here every week, and we're preaching the word and teaching the word, and that's so that we all get built up in the word, the understanding. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us revelation knowledge. Without the Spirit of God, we could not understand the things of God. Amen? And we're going to see in verse 12, it says, "That is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me." So he was going to go, he wanted to go, and he wanted to give. He wanted to impart a spiritual gift. But yet he was going with an open heart, because, you know, that way they would have a gift to give to him as well. Someone would have a word of encouragement, a word of prophecy, a word of comfort, whatever that would be, as would be needed, as is directed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And, you know, Paul taught also, he says, "Do not forsake the gathering of the church." You know, why do we come together? Why do we come together? We come together for this very thing, that we can encourage one another in the faith. And we all have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We all have gifts and a calling. We all have something to give. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. We come together to hear the word, to be edified in that. If a person needs a prayer and something's, you know, something's going on in their life, well, guess what? We have boldness. If, you know, it could be I need prayer from someone else, or that other person needs prayer. But if somebody comes to us and they ask for prayer, we have to know in faith that, you know, God is going to impart a word unto them, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of understanding, some word, some form of edification, because the Spirit knows, and the Spirit will just speak through us. Just have that faith that it's not about me. It's not about me having the answers. It's about the Spirit of God knows all things, knows that person's heart and that person's circumstances, and the Spirit of God will minister through each and every one of us, one to another. Amen? And this is why we come together. This is why we come together. And we need to hear the word of truth. We need to hear the word of the gospel. We need to hear that word of faith. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then Paul goes on in verse 13 to say, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." Now, This is different than what he was, I might impart, where he just said, I'd like to come to you to impart a gift so we could both benefit one to another. But here he says, I also have often planned to come to you that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Paul did a lot of traveling. He spent a lot of time in jail, but by trade he was a tent maker. And every opportunity that he had, he worked with his hands so that he could provide for his needs. Now, all those needs weren't taken care of. So many of those, like the cost to travel and whatever, he needed support from the church. And that's a primary reason for our giving, is so that we can advance the gospel. We can provide it. You know, it costs money, and there's, you know, travel expenses, you know, whatever, everything it costs to operate a ministry today, you know, there's expenses that are involved in that. But it's all done for the purpose of supporting the minister and their needs, but also it's about spreading the gospel. And that's why we give. Amen. And I want to make a point here, and we're going to see when I get to another scripture verse here, that the fruit that's being referenced here is actually termed the fruit of righteousness. Amen. When we give, we are acting in the righteousness of God. It's a fruit of righteousness. It's a fruit of giving. God is honored through that. And, you know, in the end, God says, store up your treasure in heaven. You know, every good work that we do, God's keeping track of that, because he wants to bless us. There's going to be special rewards for all the works that we've done here in this life. Amen? I mean, that's just the after benefit of it all. Amen? So, but God is so blessed through our giving, and we're going to see as we read on how blessed he is in that. So Paul says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And he's just basically saying, God made it, you know, when Jesus revealed himself that day and spoke to him and changed his eyes were blinded, but he opened, then when God opened his eyes, he was open to Christ. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was a Jew of Jews. He knew the law. He was a keeper of the law. He was their example. And when he finally received that message of grace, he said, all this is like rubbish. It's about, my works are like rubbish to the works of Christ. And he was separated from his mother's womb. In other words, God had a purpose in the very beginning that this one day this would happen. Jesus would intercede, reveal himself unto Paul, and that what Paul would be this amazing teacher in the body of Christ. And I don't even think he realized how effectual he was going to be for all of this time and how he was going to touch so many lives. Man, we're being blessed. I mean, we spend all this time teaching out of the epistles and what he wrote, because he had this revelation, knowledge and understanding that was given to him. Amen. Yeah, no, he thought he was serving God by killing Christians, and right? He thought he was serving God by killing Christians.
You know, we look at Paul and we think, whoa, hideous. But take it from his standpoint, he's trying to preserve Judaism, and everybody who is not, who's trying to take down Judaism is equivalent to a cockroach. Think about it. His attitude has to be that way. You know, otherwise, it's hard to kill somebody.
Okay, now we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. And it reads, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." So he's speaking about they had a gift to impart to him, an offering to bless him and to bless his ministry. And Paul's acknowledging, and you know, he doesn't go into detail here, he's saying, but you lacked opportunity. For some reason, they weren't able to get that offering to him.
I'm sorry. You said earlier that he tried to get there. It was in parentheses. He was trying to get there, but he was held back from getting there. So then now
he's speaking to the Philippians, though. That was to the Romans he was speaking about before. So this is the Philippians now. This is the church of Philippi. So he says, not that I speak in regard. I want to read that again now. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that in whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So anyway, in here, to put it all into context, in verse 13, and you know, we read these and read this verse and confess this verse, especially in light of our weakness in and of ourselves. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So Paul's just really referring at times, you know, the generous giving is there, and it's not that they weren't generous, but guess what? They didn't have FedEx, and they didn't have, you know, the means to transport funds, or you did electronically, you can do it in a bank account. Hey, Paul, we just put that in your bank account, you know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? To impart a gift meant to, you know, we're talking about a big area. If you look at a map and you look at the Mediterranean Sea and you see where Israel is, and then way across that sea to the north and the east there, or to the west there, is where Rome is, and all these churches are laid out around that area, and it's a geographically a big area. And you know, he traveled by ship once to get to Rome, but there were times they took the land, and it was a lot of travel to get there. That's why the need for giving, because expenses to for food and they probably slept out under the stars most of the time, but once in a while they'd have to get a room at the inn and take a bath and a shower and clean up. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, this needs to always be, man, that's at the core of our faith. That, and once again, it's the childlike faith, trusting in Christ, submitting our will unto him. You know, that's the greatest thing we can do. You want to just walk a life of just pure success and pure victory. And I'm not saying the enemy's not going to come against you and you're not going to suffer the trials of life, but you are going to be victorious every time. That's our position of standing. When we are standing, we are in a position of victory, a position of authority in Christ. He did it all. And our standing has to be on him. We are standing on the rock. And whatever the enemy wants to bring against us, come against us with, he already lost. He lost 2,000 years ago. He was made a spectacle of when Jesus suffered and died on that cross. When Jesus rose from the grave, I mean, Satan had to just be, he was defeated. He brought about death, but now Jesus conquered the death that came upon us because of our sinfulness, our unrighteousness before we got saved. But praise God, Jesus did it all. In him we're hidden, in him we're made perfect, in him we are perfectly righteous, we are perfectly holy. Our Heavenly Father looks down upon us and he sees perfection. Well, we're not perfect yet in the flesh, but he's working on our flesh. He's working on our mind. He's working on our heart. That's the process, as Ryan mentions, called sanctification. Just being made Christ-like. We are the workmanship of God, created for good works. It's His work in us. See, we just allow Him the freedom. If we want to get in the way and be a busybody and try and figure it out and try and do it of our own strength, we're just saying, God, hop in the back seat. I got the wheel. And then there's a song that says, you know, you're going too fast, not paying attention, and wow, this isn't too good. Jesus, take the wheel. Right? Man, I just say, I want to wake up every morning before I get in that car. I say, Jesus, take the wheel. He says, well, you're going to have to drive, though. So I got to sit over. I'll get in the other side, and we don't go anywhere. And he's, oh, you got to drive. I'll sit over here. But believe me, if I need to take the wheel, I'll grab a hold of it for you.
A lot of times we do it subconsciously.
Amen. Amen. This is our walk with the Lord. It's a walk of trust. It's a walk of faith. Amen. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So the Philippians were faithful in their giving. They gave to him so he could take that gospel out and found new churches. And he needed this giving. I mean, he was busy establishing. Just you know, he'd go from town to town, but he was establishing these churches, preaching the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And the Philippians were faithful in their giving. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit. The word fruit, remember Paul wanted to come to the Romans and he wanted to impart a gift, but he also wanted to bring some fruit. He wanted to bring an offering, a financial offering to bless the church. He wanted to be a blessing. Amen? Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. That's how God views our giving. It's a sweet-smelling aroma unto the Lord. It's an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And may God, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, the whole principle I've been sharing, there's a spiritual law that when we give, God is going to take and multiply that giving because He wants to give us more so we can continue to be faithful to give. Amen? So He's going to multiply the seed that we have sown. We're going to see that here coming up right here. So that's what He's saying. Hey, well, praise God. Man, you are such a blessing, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So guess what? If God puts it on your heart to give, be generous to give. But God wants us to purpose to give. He wants that to be our decision. It's not a forceful decision. He doesn't want us to feel pressured. We're going to read that too. And if we do, we shouldn't give. I'm going to say don't give if you don't have a free will desire in your heart to give. If you don't see the need and the value of your giving, don't give.
God loves a cheerful giver.
God loves a cheerful giver, Ryan.
I just want to say, you know, there's other scripture, I can't think of it off the top of my head, that talks about the sacrifice of Jesus being a sweet smell in the nostrils of God and whatnot, and this is the only other thing that he really says this about. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about our works are like a stench in the nostrils of God. And unfortunately, because the church has been so manipulated with giving and things like that, there are a lot of people that make giving a work. In other words, you owe me something, God, because, you know, I gave, which would be with a wrong heart. But when we truly understand what we're giving to, as my dad is well explaining, the importance of the necessity of the gospel to be further carried on to the unbeliever and to the believer so that we can grow in Christ as we hear the gospel. When we're giving to the kingdom, giving for the purpose of the furthering of the message of the cross, the message of the gospel, God is almost likening, don't get me wrong, he's almost likening our giving to the sacrifice of Jesus, the giving of his own son, in that sense of that's what we're really giving to support, and that's why it's an acceptable, sweet-smelling aroma to God, if it be from the right heart and not a dead work that is a stench in the nostrils of God. But anyway.
Amen, Ryan. And it's about promoting the gospel. It's about getting the gospel out there. Paul was, he's speaking about needs that he had so that he could travel, he could get that word out there. If that was hindered, that would hinder his getting the word out there, traveling to towns and preaching that good news of the gospel. You know, that's why, yeah, amen. It is a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, because it's presenting the gospel to the unsaved, amen? And the gospel is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is that sweet-smelling aroma, that acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Amen? Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. And verse 6. And it reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." It's a spiritual principle. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, I've seen a lot of requests for giving that's pretty forceful. And almost makes people feel pressured and feel guilty and almost like they have to dig deeper into debt, get those credit cards out. And that's a wrong motive to ask for giving. I don't care what the project is or the building fund is or whatever, but I've seen it. I've seen it on TV. I've seen big ministries, and man, we gotta come up with $10 million. And they just go at it, they hammer at it day and night, and it can almost sometimes be forceful in the request, and that's wrong to give. It really always should be with a cheerful heart. We should see the need. Now, I'm not saying there aren't needs and there's not a need for a building fund and to advance whatever the needs are, you know, within a local church. But I'm just saying that it's important that we always recognize that need to give, and we have that desire. The Holy Spirit puts that desire in our heart to give according to how we can give, according to the resources we have to give. And we should never compare one to another. Just decide in your heart, and it's not for another man to judge, and we should never be concerned about, you know, if we feel like it's too little. If you've purposed in your heart and it's within your means or within, now I'm not saying, you know, we can in faith, we can ask even, you know, we can give even beyond what we consider our means. God wants us to be reasonable. But we shouldn't give because we're as though we're depleting our savings account or our checking account. You know, if we have it to give, let's give, because God has promised that he's going to sow seed back into our account. The seed is the money. The seed is the giving. God's going to put it in there, and now he's going to multiply it, and it's going to be more than what you gave. That's the principle. That's what I'm trying to share. And I'm going to say my life's been a testimony to that, okay? In my giving, and I'm just going to boast in the Lord, I love to give, and God has proven this in my life over and over and over, and he has blessed me to this day, he has blessed me far beyond whatever I could ever think or imagine, and not for my purpose, but so that I could be a blessing unto others. And I love to give. It's a joy to give. That's my testimony I'm sharing with you. You know, and if we're sharing it in truth, and I'm glorifying the Lord totally, then, you know, we can boast in these things. But that's my testimony. It's true.
Better to give than receive.
Better to give than to receive.
And it's the joy that happens to the giver.
I always say to, if you give, that means you don't have. If you receive, that means you don't have. So that's why it's better to give than receive.
Well, God is faithful to... Yeah.
You know what? God is a huge God. And he's got so many facets.
Well, here's his promise again in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, that's his provision, that's his gift. Jesus is grace. He's that provision for every need we'll ever have. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, is that lack or is that more? That's sufficiency, right? Having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, it's a principle. It's something that God has ordained. He blessed Abraham. He made a promise to him. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. And you will be a blessing unto others. That's why God blessed him, so he could bless others. That's why God blesses us, so we can bless others. And when we learn how this principle works, we can't outgive God. He's going to multiply that giving that we have, Ryan.
Well, I just want to say, piggyback on that point, and again, for anyone that's listening, because we actually had a question last week posed to me and Alexis, and my dad has well explained all of this, but he blessed Abraham so that Abraham can be a blessing. And as my dad has already pointed out in the first teaching that he did, we've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings because of what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
So it's not that we have to give to be blessed. And again, we all know this, but I'm clarifying it for anyone that's listening. We've been blessed with all things in Christ, as Abraham was blessed so that he could now go be a blessing. Amen. So with the blessings that we receive from what Jesus has done, now we can sow seed, and God multiplies that seed, and God multiplies the giving. Amen. But again, so many people teach that if you want to be blessed, well, you have to give. Well, there's where we get into the manipulating lines of we need your money. And again, man, praise the Lord for what he's done for us. Now we've been blessed. Now we understand the importance of this giving. We can now give. The principle, as my dad is so well explaining, is then God then multiplies the seed that we sow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a circle. Jesus died for us. He blessed us because of our faith in it. Now we can go out and sow that good seed, and God's just going to make sure you have more seed to sow. That's just the principle. Amen.
And he's not going to just multiply. He wants to multiply that seed so we just, as Ryan said, we can continue to give. We can continue to be a blessing. We don't just give so that now God's going to prosper us through that giving, so now we can just build up our savings accounts and our checking accounts. That's kind of like a backward. That's not the way, it's not the motive for giving. God first blesses us according to the blessings that are part of our inheritance, promise through what Christ did at the cross, his finished work. First, God will bless us so then we can be a blessing unto others. And as we bless, then God is going to rebuild. He's going to take that seed. He's going to multiply that seed. And you know what? You cannot outgive God. I'm just going to say that. You cannot outgive God. In verse 9, it says, as it is written, he has dispersed dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. I don't want to read this right now, but if you have time, Psalm 112, if you read that, this is actually speaking about those who are righteous in God. We are righteous in Christ. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, according to faith, Abraham and Moses and the prophets of old, according to their faith, they were justified in the eyes of God. In the same way, according to faith, we're justified in Christ. They were really justified in Christ. Christ just didn't come yet. Amen. Now in verse 10, it reads, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, that's us who give, and bread for food, he provides for all of our needs, may he supply and multiply the seed which you have sown. You've already sown it, and as you're sowing it, he says, may he supply and multiply, continue to supply, continue to multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's the fruit that Paul was seeking. Paul, when he received that gift, he was encouraging them and saying, thank you for the gift because God's going to, he is blessing you. You are blessed in according to his righteousness. That is, God is being honored. He is being glorified through your righteous giving. That's really what he's saying. That is fruit to your account. And guess what? This is part of storing up treasure in heaven. God's got good gifts and rewards for all the good things we do in this life. That's every good thing we do. Amen? You know, because it pleases him. He's honored. You know, we want to, when our kids do a good job, when they from something from their heart, they say, you know, just something that's profound, that's good, that's pleasing, or something that they do. They, you know, kids can go out of their way and they can do little favors for us that they think those things out on their own. It blesses your heart when children can bless you through their goodness, the goodness that God has stirred up on the inside of them, right? So are we, like, just looks like children of God. So now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. That means a continual being generous in your giving, which causes thanksgiving through your giving unto God, through us unto God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, Paul had a lot of needs, right? But also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for all of your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. See, to be a generous giver, you know, it's the grace of God working on inside of our heart. It's already the effectual change and evidence of the Holy Spirit of God working on the inside of us. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us these inspirations. Amen? Sandy?
I just wanted to say that the giving part, when we give, through the nursing home and whatever, those receivers, I mean, another way that we're sowing the seed and carrying things on is that when they realize where it's coming from, I mean, just the giving, it turns their whole perspective around. You just keep telling them where it's coming from, and I'm almost sure that at some time they're going to take that same giving and remember, and they're going to do the same down the road to somebody.
Amen.
So we are sowing the seeds and we're giving, and in that way his ministry is still, it's growing, you know, not always in the preaching, teaching aspect, but when you give like that and you know, they look at you and say, thank you. You're like, it's not me, it's from him. And if it weren't for him, this wouldn't be happening.
That's right.
But they're going to take that, and one day, they're going to use it. I'm almost guaranteed they're going to use the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they're going to remember, and they're going to pass that on. So we are sowing this from one to the next in that giving. You know, it's moving.
You know, in the body of Christ, we've all been called to be ministers in the body of Christ. You know, when you minister the gifts of the Spirit, when you minister to another person, do you realize you're giving of yourself? That's a form of giving. You're talking about the ministry that you have and that you're giving. I read last week about when they built the temple and God said, hey, we have all these needs. Guess what? People brought all kinds of different resources. The women spun yarn and make different, you know, tapestries, whatever. Everything that was, you know, there was gold that was donated, and everybody had, there were different things they could bring and they could contribute to make it all happen. And when you put all these pieces of the puzzle together, when it was all done, it was beautiful. The temple was beautiful. And verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, and that's Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's Jesus Christ. And just one quick scripture verse and then we're done. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it reads, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's it. I hope you've been blessed by the teaching today and the teaching over the last few weeks. And anyway, you know, it's a joy to give, and God is truly blessed. Not only we're blessing the minister and the furthering of the gospel, but God is blessed through that all. You know, God gives us, and then we give back, and it kind of works in a circle. It's like a circle, call it a circle of love, if you will. Isn't love, doesn't love work that way too? It flows. It flows in, it flows out. We give, we receive. And it's all the love of God. He is love. He's the author of love. Amen.